The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
And now we step into Diabetes and You with Dr. Andrew Danu and the other guests here inside today's session. Good afternoon to you, Dr. Danu.
Good afternoon, Tosca. Glad to hear your voice. I know you're going to be stepping out very soon, but do have a good day.
Same to you.
We are here on Diabetes and You, another Thursday. We didn't have a show last week because of the holiday, but we are here and we're talking about a very important topic, breastfeeding and diabetes. Many persons may not link the two together, but today we're going to be discussing that. I'll introduce my guests in a short bit, but I want to start, as I usually do, by talking about what's happening at the Diabetes Association. So we are in the end or the tail end of our sixth form internship program. As you know, we have 36 sixth formers who spend their summer vacation with us. They're doing lots of activities and they're going to be showcasing what they're doing. If you follow us on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook, you'll be seeing all of the things that they are getting done. Today we actually have four of them and they are going to be starting a program with our CGMs, our continuous glucose monitors. And they're going to be eating different types of foods and exercising and doing different things like that to show people what blood sugar or how blood sugar fluctuates when they do these activities. I've been wearing a CGM as well. This is a new device that just have. It's called the Lynx 15-day continuous glucose monitor. For those of you who are looking at our Facebook page, because we are live on our Facebook at the Diabetes Association as well, I'm wearing it right here. And that CGM is telling me my blood sugar every minute. I'm not living with diabetes, however, it is beneficial because it's giving me a lot of valuable information about the things that do affect blood sugars. So persons can access the CGM. It's called the Lynx Continuous Glucose Monitor at the Diabetes Association. We are the only ones in Trinidad who have CGMs, and we are working right now to get CGMs for children with diabetes. For the last few weeks, or months rather, we've been able to get some funding, and we're going to be onboarding about 25 children living with type 1 diabetes very soon. So we're hoping that we can get some more funds to do even more, because we have about 150 type 1 children who actually need it very, very much. So we're hoping to get that on very soon. As we usually do, we also have our diabetic eye screening program happening. And if you are living with diabetes, or even not living with diabetes, and would like to have that dilated eye exam, then give us a call at 607-3288 and you can get that free diabetic eye exam. We're in the month of November, and in November we are going to be at various locations across the country. On Friday 16th, we're going to be in Santa Cruz. So if you live in Santa Cruz, then you can make an appointment there. On Tuesday the 13th, which is next week, Tuesday, we're going to be in Gasparilla. If you're in Gasparilla, you could also make an appointment. On the 20th of August, we're going to be in Chaguanas. 23rd, we're going to be in La Brea. And the 27th, we'll be in Curep. So if you're in any of those areas, Gasparilla, Santa Cruz, Chaguanas, La Brea, Curep, and you want to get that free eye exam, the diabetic eye exam, then give us a call, 607-3288, and make an appointment. That's the Diabetes Association's phone number. So that's what's happening at the association. Of course, a lot more, but that's all I can say now, because we do have a very engaging conversation with our very special guest today, Mrs. Amy Bartholomew. And we're going to be talking about breastfeeding and diabetes. Now, for many persons, they don't understand the link between it, but of course, we need to understand first the importance of breastfeeding. For many women, they often have to make a decision between breastfeeding and using formula. We're going to look at why breastfeeding is most important. And we have a specialist who is there are two phrases, and I'm mixing up the phrases because I want to call one a specialist and one a consultant, but she's a breastfeeding counselor, or consultant rather, than a lactation specialist. So we're going to learn about what a breastfeeding counselor is, and what a lactation specialist is. So we're going to learn about that in a short bit. So I want to start by just telling our listeners a little bit about what the American Diabetes Association says about diabetes and breastfeeding. So according to the American Diabetes Association, breastfeeding is a simple and natural process that helps give your baby a head start to a healthier life. If you have diabetes, or if you don't have diabetes, you can and should plan to still breastfeed for at least 6 months. Babies that are breastfed have lower risks of type 1 diabetes and becoming overweight or obese later in life, which is, of course, a risk factor of type 2 diabetes. They're also less likely to have asthma, eczema, respiratory diseases, infections, and other serious health problems. They say a lot more, but we're going to get into that discussion later on. We'll talk about type 2 diabetes as well. But let's introduce our guest. So we have Mrs. Amy Bartholomew. And again, she's a breastfeeding consultant, lactation specialist. So I want to introduce Mrs. Bartholomew to our program. Welcome, Mrs. Bartholomew, to Diabetes and You.
Hi, good day. Thanks for having me.
I'm so happy that you are here, because this is Breastfeeding Week. And we're going to be talking about breastfeeding, and we're going to be talking about everything that women should know. And of course, men as well, because men have to take care of the women, or men are with the women. So I want us to start by having you tell us a little bit more about yourself, about your journey towards becoming a lactation specialist or counselor. And I want you to tell us a little bit more about that.
Okay. Sure. Well, I'm Amy Bartholomew. I'm a breastfeeding counselor and a lactation specialist. So what's the difference? Well, a breastfeeding counselor doesn't really medical conditions, neither does a lactation specialist, but a lactation specialist just goes a little deeper into the issues and the causes and the root causes of certain issues and all that. So it's kind of just like a step up from a breastfeeding counselor, but we basically do the same thing. We support mothers with breastfeeding, right? So a little about me. I became a breastfeeding counselor because when I had my first son 23 years ago, and I needed help. I reached out to the then TIBS, which was the Informative Breastfeeding Service, which has since become TBAT, the Breastfeeding Association of Trinidad and Tobago. I reached out to them, and their founder, actually Marilyn Stallmeyer, is who helped me in my early stages of breastfeeding my first son. And when she helped me, I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to help other mothers to breastfeed. And the rest is history. That's where it all began. I joined the next class of breastfeeding counselors. And he was in the class. So he was like the guinea pig baby in the class. We tried out all the different positions and we showed all, you know, he was just the baby there that was sort of like the prop in class. And that's it. I've been a breastfeeding counselor ever since. It's only last year, or was it earlier this year, that I did lactation specialist training within an organization in the United States. And so I've kind of furthered my studies in this whole arena. Mm-hmm. And that's it. So, yeah, I'm a part of now the Breastfeeding Association of Trinidad and Tobago. And, yeah, this is what we do. Yes. We support mothers with breastfeeding.
Yeah, and I mean, it's so important, and I'm sure many of our listeners may have never consulted with a specialist such as yourself, but we want to make it known that we do have this specialty or these types of professionals in Trinidad and Tobago. And through the course of this program, I want to educate our listeners a little bit more about why they should consult with someone like yourselves. So I want you to tell our listeners a little bit more about the association, the Breastfeeding Association of Trinidad and Tobago, and probably tell us a little bit more about Breastfeeding Week or Breastfeeding Month.
Sure, yes.
Let's hear about that.
Okay, sure. So the Breastfeeding Association of Trinidad and Tobago was formerly the Informative Breastfeeding Service, which is TIBS. It's a non-governmental organization, a registered charity, and founded in 1977, so we are 47 years old, to protect, promote, and support breastfeeding. We changed our name in 2015 to reflect the organization's national commitment. You know, Breastfeeding Association of Trinidad and Tobago was kind of more more hours, more national, you know. So for 40 years, experienced, voluntary, certified breastfeeding counselors have helped mothers to breastfeed their babies. For over 40 years, sorry. And our services are free of charge, right? So these services are for everyone. And it kind of goes with our this year's theme of World Breastfeeding Week, which is closing the gap. For those of you who can actually see me, I have on our t-shirt, it's closing the gap, breastfeeding support for all, right? So that's what our services are for. We are to help everyone with breastfeeding, no excuse, because our services are free of charge. So we provide these services in person, over the phone, and we do hospital visits, home visits. We also have a bi-monthly breastfeeding support group on Zoom, and it's the first and the third Wednesday of every month. We are involved in community outreach and the facilitation of evidence-based training programs, and also corporate lactation program, the Mother Friendly Workplace, which supports mothers to continue to breastfeed when they return to work after their maternity leave. We actively participate in policy development with the Ministry of Health and regional health authorities related to infant and young child feeding and the Baby Friendly Hospital Initiative. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the BFHI, as it is known, and compliance with the International Code of Marketing of Breast Milk Substitutes. In 2018, TBAT was awarded a national award, the Hummingbird Medal Gold, for its dedicated and committed and outstanding service to the nation. The Breastfeeding Association of Trinidad and Tobago is the only organization of its kind in the English-speaking Caribbean. So that's basically what our sort of motto is to protect, promote, and support breastfeeding. And I know you asked me a little bit about World Breastfeeding Week. Well, the 1st to the 7th of August every year is World Breastfeeding Week, and it is celebrated worldwide. So we celebrated, and this is an annual thing, we celebrated on the 27th of, we actually launched World Breastfeeding Week on the 27th of July, Saturday, 27th July, with our annual walk and breakfast. So that was last Saturday. And this Saturday, the 10th, they are going to have their walk and breakfast in Tobago. So that's what we do annually. This is our annual sort of launch and celebration, is a walk and breakfast in both Trinidad and Tobago.
Mm-hmm. Well, quite an impactful organization, I would say. And I mean, having so many volunteers who are interested and willing to give up their time. And of course, as you said, this service is offered for free to members of the public. So I'm happy to hear that. So we'll talk some more about the association. But I want to get into the meat of the matter, which is, why is breastfeeding so important for the baby and the mother? Why should mothers do that?
Well, I'm going to read something for you, which I thought was quite profound. And it is from the World Health Assembly Global Nutrition Targets 2025 Breastfeeding Policy Brief 2012. So, exclusive breastfeeding, defined as the practice of only giving an infant breast milk for the first 6 months of life, no other food or water, has the single largest potential impact on child mortality of any preventive. So that's pretty profound. It has the single largest potential impact on child mortality. And I mean, if that alone doesn't make you breastfeed, well, you know, and there are just a lot of people out there that don't know this. They don't, we don't see breastfeeding. Some mums get pregnant and have a baby and they have never seen a mother breastfeed. So, you know, how do we learn? How is it supposed to be this natural, instinctive act? Because we don't see it every day. We don't see it on TV. We don't see it in books. We don't see it out there. We have to start to renormalize breastfeeding, you know, in order for it to come naturally to everybody. I remember once there was a story on the news about a gorilla in a zoo who had a baby, and the gorilla did not know what to do. because the gorilla was not seeing other gorillas breastfeeding. Yeah. And so there were some mothers in the community who came out with their babies and sat in front of the gorilla and breastfed. And the gorilla then picked up its baby and breastfed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it needs to learn, you know?
So is it really a learned skill, or naturally, of course, your mother will lactate after
yes.
birth. But what makes it so difficult? I would say what are the challenges that would prevent a mother from being able to breastfeed well?
Well, first of all, not lack of knowledge, you know, not knowing about breastfeeding and the benefits of breastfeeding. That's very important to know that. Also knowing that it has become the learned skill because we don't see it. And so having that information out there that you do have breastfeeding counselors that are willing to come and help, you know, and you should actually reach out before the baby's even born. We always say it's important for you to get help with breastfeeding before a challenge comes up. It's best to get it, you know, get it going well from the very beginning to avoid any problems. And so don't wait. We recommend to moms and breastfeeding families, don't wait until there's a problem to call for help. Call us to help you to get it out, get it started well to begin with, you know? Yeah. And other things that cause issues is practices in hospitals, you know, babies being taken away from the mother and kept overnight. And then babies are fed. They feed the babies without even telling the moms. They feed the babies with formula. That causes problems with breastfeeding. Things like having no skin-to-skin contact right after baby's born. It's really recommended that you have skin-to-skin contact immediately as soon as the baby is born. As long as there's no medical issues, that baby should be in skin-to-skin contact with the mother. And of course, skin-to-skin contact has a host of benefits as well. And one of them is to do with the blood glucose levels, and it helps to regulate blood glucose levels in the baby. So very important.
And I want to talk some more about that. And I want to get into the heart of talking about diabetes and breastfeeding. We need to take a short break. Let's take that short break. When we get back, we're going to do that. And we're also going to take some phone calls and some messages from our listeners. We are talking with Mrs. Amy Bartholomew, a breastfeeding consultant, a lactation specialist from the Trinidad and Tobago Breastfeeding Association. So we're going to be continuing that conversation. Bees, over to you. Let's take that break. When we come back, we'll take some calls as well.
Okay, of course, 12:25, you're listening to Diabetes and You right here on Freedom 106.5 FM. And we're giving you those specials with Penta Paints. Be one of the lucky winners to win the grand prize of $5,000 in back-to-school supplies or weekly prizes valued at $500. Purchase any 2 gallons of Penta Paints flat emulsion, weather shield or high gloss. Fill out the entry form and submit in entry boxes at selected hardwares and franchise locations nationwide. Customers must provide proof of purchase upon collection of prizes. Visit Penta Paints on Instagram for more details. This promotion is NLCB approved. Special conditions do apply.
As we celebrate 61 years of Best Village, the Prime Minister's Best Village Trophy competition invites you to enjoy all upcoming shows in person, absolutely free of charge. Immerse yourself in the Jubilee celebration of dance, song, theatre, dramology, and more. Each week brings a fresh and exciting experience. Don't miss out on this incredible celebration of our rich heritage and culture. Visit mscd.gov.tt and follow the Ministry's social media pages. Good to see the Ministry of Sport and Community Development.
Buy and sell anything on ads.tt. It's quick, simple, and free. Follow the 3 easy steps. Install ads.tt mobile app on your mobile device. Take pictures of your items, then fill in the description and set the price. Your ad is then posted on ads.tt and you'll begin to receive inquiries. Trusted, safe, and reliable. Use the mobile app or our website for your convenience. Download ads.tt today. Buy or sell anything with ads.tt. Available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store.
All right, folks, so we're back with Diabetes and You, Dr. Andrew Danu and his guests. Remember, our phone numbers here are 622-2257. Feel free to WhatsApp us on our topic at 388-1065.
And, of course, we are live on our Diabetes Association Facebook page. If you have a question, you can leave it down in the comments below and we'll try to take it as well. We are here with Mrs. Amy Bartholomew. She is from the Breastfeeding Association, and we're talking about breastfeeding. I'm going to get into the topic of diabetes, but before we do that, you were talking about, before the break, we were talking about some of the challenges women may have, and I wanted to get into that conversation a little bit, talking about when should breastfeeding start and how long should breastfeeding last, and also should formula be in that mix somewhere in the conversation. So let's talk about that.
Okay, sure. So we were talking about the challenges, and we were talking about babies taking, being whisked away from the moms when they have their babies. And of course, that's not what's recommended. It's really recommended that the baby comes out and is straight on the mummy, from being inside of mummy to being on mummy, skin to skin. And skin to skin meaning there's nothing separating mummy and baby, skin on skin. There's nothing warmer than that. I mean, in countries where they don't have sophisticated NIC units and incubators and all that, they rely on kangaroo mother care, which is when mother and baby are skin to skin all the time. So for premature babies and so, and their survival rates of their babies are actually higher than countries that have all the sophisticated equipment and so. And I'm going to actually read to you some of the benefits of skin-to-skin contact straight out of our baby-friendly hospital initiative manual. It's quite magical. And even mothers who have C-sections under epidural can do skin-to-skin contact immediately after birth, as long as everything is okay with baby and mummy. The benefits are the breast and self-attach. It helps the mother to bond with her baby and develop a close, loving relationship. So when mother and baby are in skin-to-skin contact, they start to produce all types of hormones and endorphins that are the love hormones, and it helps them to fall in love with one another. A mother will more likely start to breastfeed and will breastfeed for longer. It helps to stimulate maternal milk production and supply. It calms the mother and the baby, again, because all of those endorphins are being produced. Also, those endorphins act as like painkillers. So if there's any pain at all associated with birth, those endorphins help with the pain. It helps to regulate, and this is the magic, it helps to regulate the baby's breathing, heart rate, body temperature, and glucose levels, which is especially valuable for low birth weight babies and premature babies. Imagine that. Just holding your baby skin to skin can regulate all of these things, which is just amazing. It enables the colonization of the baby with microbes from the mother's skin, mucosal surfaces, and intestine, which helps to protect the baby from infection. So anything that the mother is exposed to and the baby is exposed to, like any type of bacteria, germs, anything, the mother's breast milk is going to produce antibodies to help to prevent the baby from getting sick. So it's very, very important, that skin-to-skin contact. And it's really important that baby is colonized with the mother's bacteria and not whisked away, because then the baby is going to be exposed to bacteria that the mother is not exposed to. So that gives a little context to that whole thing about those, you know, the colonization of the baby with the mother's microbes. It's very, very important. And it's very important that the first thing that baby gets into its stomach is colostrum, which is that first milk, which is like the baby's first immunization.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Well, that's what I was going to ask about. When do we start? As soon as the baby...
Immediately, as soon as possible. Because, you know, you will hear these words often, early and often is what helps to get breastfeeding off to the best start. As soon as possible and as often as possible. And that's what, you know, it takes about 3 to 5 days for the more mature milk to start coming in. And so it's important that the baby feeds often. We recommend about 8 to 12 times breastfeeding in 24 hours. That's day and night. Baby needs to feed approximately every 2 to 3 hours. But we tell moms, don't look at the clock, look at your baby. Look for feeding cues. We teach them what these cues are. Don't wait for your baby to be screaming and crying hungry. You know, keep your baby near to you. You know, room in with the baby so that you can see these cues, the early feeding cues, and feed the baby on cue. Feed on demand. Whenever the baby shows signs of wanting to feed, feed the baby.
And how long should this happen? Well, how long, when should they stop?
When should they stop breastfeeding, meaning in terms of when they are breast or
you let the baby? Age.
Okay, well, we can talk about age and when, like how long should a baby breastfeed. All babies breastfeed for a different amount of time, each feed. So we recommend that a baby be put to the breast, leave the baby on the breast for as long as they want, and when they either fall asleep or they come off of the breast on their own, usually it means that they've had enough. You can still offer the second breast, but chances are they may not want the second side. But you let the baby determine whether they want one or two breasts. And the reason why you want to leave the baby on the first breast for as long as they want is because there are two kinds of milk when a baby first starts to breastfeed. And this is after the colostrum phase. This is when the mature milk comes in. When a baby first starts to breastfeed, they get something called foremilk. It is more watery. It quenches the baby's thirst. And then the second set of milk that starts to flow is called hind milk, and it's much more full of calories and fat and protein, and it keeps the baby more satisfied and fuller and helps the baby put on weight. Right, so that is in terms about how long. Some babies can breastfeed in 5 minutes and they've gotten a full feed if they're very effective at the breast. Some babies will stay on for 15 minutes to half an hour or so. But babies don't just breastfeed for nutrition. They also breastfeed for comfort. And that's also very important. It's not that you're spoiling the baby. It's a need. It's a genuine need of theirs. And it's very important that they breastfeed for that reason. Babies also breastfeed when they're thirsty and when they're hungry. So if it's a really particularly hot day, they will probably want to breastfeed more often. But the thing about breastfeeding is that if it is a hot day and baby requires more water, the breast milk will have more water in it. And it is the baby's saliva touching the mother's nipple that determines the quality of the breast milk at every single feed. That's why breastfeeding at the breast is really important as well. Mm-hmm. So duration now. So the World Health Organization and UNICEF and all the rest of them recommend exclusive breastfeeding for 6 months. That is nothing else by mouth, no water, no other milk, nothing. Just breast milk. And then at 6 months, you can introduce, and that's when it's recommended that you introduce solids slowly. Mm-hmm. You start introducing things like, pumpkin and banana and mango and all of those simple foods, first before starting to introduce more cooked sort of food and mixed combining foods. You want to kind of introduce one food at a time in the beginning. But that food before the age of one is just for fun. They still get the majority of their nutrition from breast milk up until a year, right? But the World Health Organization also recommends you breastfeed for up to 2 years and beyond, because even beyond a year, there are still benefits to breastfeeding. All the same benefits as they are in the beginning. And I mean, we didn't talk about all the benefits, but there are many benefits of breastfeeding for mother and baby. Some of the benefits to the baby are, well, first of all, perfect nutrients, perfect protein, fats, water, because we are humans and our human milk is best for our human babies, right? So it's not something foreign going into the baby's very immature digestive system. It's clean. It's the perfect temperature. So you don't have to warm up anything. It's always ready. It's easily digested. It contains antibodies. So that's known as natural passive immunity. It protects against many illnesses and infections. It prevents obesity. Breastfed babies don't overfeed. From the time you put milk in a bottle, whether it's breast milk, because it can even happen with breast milk, but with breast milk and formula, babies overfeed. They can overfeed when they breastfeed, when they bottle feed, sorry, but they do not overfeed when they breastfeed. So that's why breastfeeding helps to prevent obesity. And also with breast milk, babies only need a little bit to get a whole lot of nutrition. They need a lot more formula to get they don't even get, even with more formula, they don't get the nutrition that they get from breast milk. It reduces the risk of diabetes. So that's what we're talking about today. Reduces the risk of diabetes, hypertension, and other NCDs. It reduces allergies, eczema, asthma. Reduces the infant and child mortality rates. It's full of probiotics, which protects the gut. Contributes to the development of the human brain. So it's human milk will help to develop the human brain. And it promotes bonding between the mother and the baby, which is very important. So there's less abandonment of babies when a mother breastfeeds. And benefits to the mother. Promotes bonding between the mother and the baby. We repeat that again. Faster postpartum recovery for the mother, because it helps the uterus to return to the pre-pregnancy size. Faster weight loss, because the fat stores that a mother puts on during pregnancy, that is what puts fat content in the milk, in the mother's milk. It helps to prevent postpartum hemorrhage. It helps to prevent certain types of cancer in the mother, breast, uterine, and ovarian cancers. Less incidence of osteoporosis. You would think if we are producing milk for a baby, that would have an impact on our bones, but it actually doesn't. It helps to prevent us. It's less incidence of osteoporosis, less incidence of type 2 diabetes. And in particular, in moms who have gestational diabetes, you know, diabetes during pregnancy, they are at lower risk of developing type 2 diabetes later on if they breastfeed. And the longer they breastfeed, the lower the risk. Things like arthritis, heart disease, high blood pressure, and obesity, all of that are the benefits to the mother as well. Lower risk of postpartum depression, and it saves money. It's free. And breast milk also benefits the environment. There's no waste. So there are no tins to throw away, no waste in factories making formula. There's none of that. There's no waste. So it's very environmentally friendly. So lots of reasons to breastfeed.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there are so many reasons, but of course, parents still opt to using formula. And I want us to discuss a little bit about formula. And besides formula, there are some parents in Trinidad who would give their infants cow's milk or goat milk. Or I always tell persons, and I mean, milk, we don't have anything against milk and the Diabetes Association. But I always tell, for example, I tell my students that there's no other species on earth that consumes the milk of another species.
Correct. And if you we're supposed to be the smart ones.
and a cow's milk is designed to turn a calf into a cow. So if it is that you're feeding a baby the cow's milk, that milk is designed to give the calf the amount of fats and sugars that the calf needs. So you really. You need the mother's milk to be able to give what the child needs. So yes. I wanted to talk a little bit about formula. When should formula be introduced? If formula should be introduced at all? And
never.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Now, babies need milk for a year. So if you can breastfeed for a year, that I always tell moms, make that your first goal. You know, if you want to breastfeed, you want your baby to only have breast milk and no other milk, breastfeed for a year. Because after a year, you don't need to give any of those other follow-on fancy milks and all that. Babies don't need milk. Don't need cow's milk, or goat's milk. That is for calves and kids. Baby cows, baby. You know, dogs feed their puppies their milk. You know, cow's milk can make dogs very, very sick. We are really not meant to have cow's milk.
Mm-hmm.
So it's... Yeah, that's why so many people have such issues with dairy on a whole, because we're really not meant to digest that. So there's actually no need for formula at all. Mm-hmm. There's no need. Some moms think that at a certain age, like when they start introducing food, you can introduce formula. There's no need. Breast milk is enough. It's all the baby needs. That's more than enough.
Yeah.
It's the best start for a baby.
And that's important. And to reiterate, so we breastfeeding until 6 months exclusively, and then introducing solids or
again, that's just food that. Is what it's known as at that point, because it's complementing the breastfeeding. But still, the main point is that the babies still get the majority of their nutrition from the breast milk up to a year.
And what about cereals? And I know that we have some questions based. So let's take the questions and then we get back to my questions.
Sure.
All right, so our first question, when will we advocate for proper maternity leave and paternity leave and get a national breast milk bank going? When are we going to breastfeeding friendly workplaces and advocating for breastfeeding friendly workplaces and public spaces?
Yes, well, we do have a breastfeeding policy now, a national breastfeeding policy, so yay for that. But yes, our maternity leave was increased a few years ago to 14 weeks instead of 12. But still, it's not enough. We need longer maternity leave for sure. So, you know, we have to advocate for that. And the best people to advocate for that are mothers and families of breastfed babies. You know, they need to come out and fight for that. It's an important one that's worth fighting for.
All right, the other...
Yeah, go ahead.
No, the other question is, are there any diseases or illnesses can be passed on to baby from mother breastfeeding, especially in the early stages?
No, the breast milk actually contains antibodies. So even if a mother is ill and she breastfeeds her baby, the breast milk is going to have antibodies, so the baby is less likely to get sick.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why it's really important for mother and baby to be together, especially in those early months. It's really important for developing the baby's immune system and keeping the baby well. Because the mother and baby pretty much share an immune system through the breast milk.
Okay, great. Well, those are all of our questions for now.
Thanks, babe. Tell me if we have any more, But that's so interesting, eh? Because I remember you mentioned a short while ago that just by the baby's saliva going onto the mother's breast, that the mother's body is able to detect if the baby is dehydrated.
Correct.
And be able to adjust the milk to have more water in the milk.
I'm telling you, it's magic. It's magic. Yes. That's what real magic is. We don't know everything about breastfeeding and breast milk yet. We're still learning. We keep learning new things all the time.
And of course, even with the antibodies, and you're saying if a mother has the flu, has a cold, then the mother produces antibodies through the breast milk, which would protect the baby from getting the flu or the cold.
Correct. So even if the baby does get the flu or the cold, it would be very mild because the baby's getting the antibodies from the mom.
So we're three-quarter way through our program and we have about 15 minutes left. I know we do need to take one more break, and when we get back, we're going to talk specifically about diabetes, specifically about how breastfeeding will decrease the chance of diabetes, but also increase overall health of the baby as the baby grows up. So let's take that break base and we'll get back to our conversation.
Get ready for a charity cricket vet match like none other. The Trinidad and Tobago Cancer Society, in collaboration with Republic Bank, proudly presents its second annual Relay for Life event, Batting Against Cancer. Join us on Saturday, 10th August at Skinner Park, San Fernando, from 2 p.m. for an unforgettable day of cricket, camaraderie and fun, all in the fight against cancer. Don't miss the chance to witness local clubs battle it out to play against an all-star team featuring some of the best talents in the game, like Rayad Emirat, Anissa Mohammed, Imran Khan, and Lendl Simmons. It's more than just cricket. It's about uniting as a community to support a noble cause. So gather your friends, bring your family, and let's bat against cancer together. Mark your calendars for Saturday, August 10th at Skinner Park, San Fernando from 2 p.m. For more information or to reserve tickets, call 280-3353. Email projects at cancer.tt or visit our website at cancertt.com.
Buy and sell anything on ads.tt. It's quick, simple, and free. Follow the three easy steps. Install ads.tt mobile app on your mobile device. Take pictures of your items, then fill in the description and set the price. Your ad is then posted on ads.tt and you'll begin to receive inquiries. Trusted, safe, and reliable. Use the mobile app or our website for your convenience. Download ads.tt today. Buy or sell anything with ads.tt. Available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store.
All right, folks, so we're back with your diabetes and you 13 minutes away from 1 o'clock. Andrew Danu and his guest.
Thanks, Bass. We're here with Mrs. Amy Bartholomew, a breastfeeding consultant, lactation specialist from the Trinidad and Tobago Breastfeeding Association. We've been chatting over the last few minutes about the importance of breastfeeding for both mothers and their babies, And I want to get into the conversation about diabetes because, as we would have mentioned before, when breastfeeding, women are giving their children a fighting chance against, or rather reducing their chance of developing some of these diseases, particularly type 1 diabetes, particularly obesity and being overweight, which could lead to type 2 diabetes, but there are also benefits for the mother. So we know that if mothers breastfeed, and you spoke about it before, the extra weight that's gained during pregnancy is actually lost easier because in breaking down that fat that's built up, that fat is used, and there's a reason why it's used because, I mean, there's a reason why you build it up because, again, it's being built up to give the baby when the baby is born. So, if mothers don't breastfeed after, then they go to the gym instead, and you know, all they have to do is really breastfeed. But there's also a statement about gestational diabetes, and we know that many women in Trinidad and Tobago develop gestational diabetes, and for many women it could be a precursor to type 2 diabetes because after gestational diabetes they go on to develop type 2 diabetes. We know that breastfeeding alone reduces a woman's chance of transitioning or developing type 2 diabetes. And I've seen a statistic that even breastfeeding for more than a year or even more than 6 months or greater than that decreases the chances even more.
Yes.
So we know about these things. So I know that you've been practicing for 23 years and you've probably encountered many, many women with diabetes or gestational diabetes before. How do you deal with women like that? And how do you address their concerns about breastfeeding? Some women may think, well, their blood sugar is high and they might cause their baby's blood sugar to be high. How do you normally deal with women with gestational diabetes?
Well, it's same as any other woman, really. You treat them the same, but also educate them and let them know that their risk of type 2 diabetes afterwards will be much reduced if they breastfeed and they breastfeed for an extended period of time, and kind of explain to them why. Don't just give them the information, kind of explain what happens and why. But I find a lot of doctors out there know this. They know about, you know, there's a lot more breastfeeding information out there and a lot more education out there especially among our regional health authorities, the public hospitals. They are going baby friendly now. Two of our hospitals have gone baby friendly, and so they are on the right path in educating their mums about the benefits of breastfeeding, especially when it comes to the gestational diabetes and preventing diabetes. So we're on the right track. We just need to get the others on the outside, you know, because as I always tell people, breastfeeding is everyone's business. You seem to think that, oh, it's just when your mother gets pregnant, just educate her, you know, at that particular point. No, everybody needs to know about breastfeeding because that's the only way that mother and that family is going to get support. Because if other people don't understand the importance of it, they're just going to say, and there are a lot of people that just say, oh God, we'll just give your baby a bottle now. And they don't understand that giving a baby a bottle can actually be the end of the breastfeeding journey. It can have a huge impact on breastfeeding. And, you know, a lot of times they don't know this. And so breastfeeding, the baby refuses to take the breast after having a bottle. And they're like, oh, the baby don't want my breast anymore. They don't like the breast. But it's not that. It's that they brought the bottle interfered with the whole breastfeeding relationship. Mm-hmm. And can cause a lot of problems. So this information just needs to be out there to everyone and not just restricted to the breastfeeding mom and the family.
Mm-hmm. And so one other question that we often have from moms who are diabetic, who are living with diabetes and have are taking insulin or they're taking metformin, they always ask, well, would the insulin or the metformin or the drugs that I take interfere with the baby, and should I not take these drugs?
No, it's safe. It's safe for them to breastfeed while taking those drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
But I mean, most of the doctors will know this and tell them that. That's why it's so important that the doctors also have this knowledge. Because, I mean, in med school, I don't think there's very much on breastfeeding. So So, which is so strange, because it can actually prevent so many illnesses and stuff from later on. You would think that would be like the first thing they learn about, because that's like, that's the beginning. That's the beginning of good health. And in fact, speaking about that, the World Health Organization, if you go to their website, they give you a list of tips for good health. And one of those tips is breastfeed your baby.
Mm-hmm.
And so go and Google it and you'll see, which is quite surprising, a list of, not surprising to me, I think it's fantastic, but it is one of their tips. Like if they have the top 10 tips to good health, that's one of the top 10 tips is to breastfeed your baby. So,
And also, I think, and you were mentioning a little bit about formula, and giving them the formula may turn them off from the breast milk. And that's maybe because some of the formulas have a lot of sugar, or they may be more appealing or more tasty. And I know one fact that babies actually develop their taste for sweet and salty things the more that you give it to them.
Yeah, so, that's correct. But not only that, it's not just the formula. It's not just what's in the bottle. But yes, it is also that. But also sucking on a teat, the nipple of a bottle, is very different from sucking on at the breast. So they also have things like the proper oral formation, the proper development, oral development happens with breastfeeding, but not bottle feeding. So you can have a lot of like speech issues later on, bottle-fed babies compared to breastfed babies, and developing a taste for foods. Bottle-fed babies, formula-fed babies tend to be much more picky eaters, because formula tastes the same all the time. Breast milk changes, the taste of it changes. Every time that baby breastfeeds, the milk tastes different. Mm. So breastfed babies tend to be much better eaters as well. They're willing to try more foods because they've been exposed to more tastes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, I mean, lots of benefits here. And I mean, and you're right. We really need to focus a little bit more on this, because maybe medicine has moved away from looking at things that naturally happen to the human body and preference for to drugs and surgery. But we need to look at what needs to be done very early on in life and set any foundation for healthier babies, healthier adults. So we've learned so much today about breastfeeding. We learned about how breastfeeding can influence diabetes, or how women with diabetes or pre-diabetes or gestational diabetes should take care of themselves, and especially those women should be breastfeed even more. We just have a few minutes left for the program, and I want you, Mrs. Bartholomew, to tell our listeners how they could reach you, or how they could reach the organization, if they need help. When should they reach you? Should they try to call you after they have the baby? When should they reach you, and how should they reach you?
Yeah, so to reach out before your baby is born. Even reach out when you're planning to get pregnant. You know, if you're planning a family, these are things you want to discuss, because this is when you make these decisions of how you're going to feed your baby. And you can make a more educated choice, a better choice, if you have the knowledge. So reach out beforehand. So we have our Facebook page, the Breastfeeding Association of Trinidad and Tobago. We have an Instagram page. So check it out there. We have, as I said, the first and the third Wednesday of every month, we have our support group on Zoom. And our phone numbers, we have our office in Port of Spain, 628-8234. And our office, our WhatsApp number, which is 468-5412. And I will give you my number too. Please call for help, 777-4371. Our services are free of charge. We are willing to visit you. We have breastfeeding counselors all over Trinidad and Tobago, and we are happy to help. Don't wait until there's a problem. Call us before that. We're happy to come as the baby pops out to help you to breastfeed your baby and get it right from the very beginning.
And with that, thank you so much, Mrs. Bartholomew, Amy Bartholomew, breastfeeding consultant, lactation specialist from the Trinidad and Tobago Breastfeeding Association. We've been chatting over the last hour about breastfeeding and the importance, noting that this week is breastfeeding awareness, so breastfeeding week.
World Breastfeeding Week, yes.
World Breastfeeding Week. And of course, the Breastfeeding Association is doing a month long of activities. So I may have another one of your representatives on diabetes and you again discussing the topic. I want to thank you so much for taking your time to educate the listeners and me, because I've learned so much about breastfeeding and the importance of it. And we will, of course, have you on the program again, because we want to continue talking about things like this. So I want to thank you for taking the time out. Thank all listeners for joining in. And of course, if you do need assistance from the Diabetes Association, you can reach us at any time at 607-3288, 607-3288, or send us a message on Instagram or on Facebook. If you want to get those free diabetic eye exams again, we are all across the country during the month of August. Give us that call to make your appointment. If you would like a continuous glucose monitor as well, if you're living with diabetes, you can also give us a call and we could onboard you with one of those devices. And if you would like to make a donation towards our children's fund to get the CGMs for the children with type 1 diabetes, you could also send us a message, give us a call. We love to hear from you, because we need to raise more money to get that done. So I want to thank you again, Amy Bartholomew. Thank you, Base, for facilitating the last hour. And of course, thanks to our listeners. Next week, we're going to have another insightful program on diabetes and you at 12 noon, again, every Thursday on Freedom 106.5. Thanks, Base.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you there very much, Andrew Dan and his guest. Very interesting program. And all, as always, and like you said, Diabetes and You, heard right here at 12 noon on Freedom 106.5 every Thursday.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.